Your home is important. That's why GEICO helps make it easy to save on condo insurance. Because home is more than just a place. Home is where you took minimalism too far because there's only one chair in your entire condo and your only entertainment is one card. Not even a deck of cards, but a single card. And all your guests have to share one plate and one fork, but you're convinced that less stuff means more freedom. The GEICO Insurance Agency could help protect the overly minimalist broom closet you call home. Call GEICO and see how easy it is to switch and save on condo insurance.
You shouldn't go to Barnes & Noble and buy 10,000 books just so you can build a book fortress and yell out, "I am your book leader." You shouldn't buy 147 copies of War and Peace, stuff them inside turkeys, and serve them at Thanksgiving as turbookins. And you definitely shouldn't buy up all the copies of Dork Diaries, causing the neighborhood kids to stage a protest in your front yard. But you could. Because at the Barnes & Noble Book Haul, you can get over 1,000 titles for 50% off. Stock up at your local Barnes & Noble. Turbookins are fictitious and should not be cooked at home.
Did you grow up with the NES, PlayStation, Star Wars, cartoons, and 80s TV? Do you like to think who would win in a fight between Batman and the Master Chief? Comics, games, movies, music, and TV, they're gonna tell you everything you need. Superheroes or not, they got your back. They're gonna save the world of geeks.
Well, it's time for our back to school guide, and this is sort of back to school for Canada because everybody starts back in over the next week or so. And if you're in the States, I believe a lot of you have already started back at school, but it's sort of, we wanted to come smack dab in the middle to sort of serve everybody, because if we went too early, our Canadian audience would be like, "Hi, we're not ready to go back just yet." So, you know, what is this guide going to be? Well, it's going to be covering a few things. Some of the, you know, reiterating some of the hardware that we've received for review that we believe are good for students, people that are on a budget, that are looking to, you know, save a nickel and dime, but also get decent quality, you know, bang for their buck. So it's going to be broken down into a few different categories. It's not going to be overly long, just sort of breaking down, like, are you looking for a new television? Are you looking for, you know, different media players to watch streaming on? Are you looking for something to play your music on that's a dedicated device, or is it worth going with your phone? What, you know, computers? I'm looking to get a cheap computer that can, you know, be space-fitting into whatever I need. Then you're going to need speakers and headphones and you know, I want to do some light gaming. You know, for the most part, we're not going to go into, like, here's what a Nintendo Switch does. We're not doing any of that. It's just what is worth the money for a student or somebody that, you know, we want you to be social as well. So Birdman also has wants to talk about some books, I believe, for tabletop gaming. We're going to put that sort of in between as like an intermission between what I'm talking about. And because, you know, think about it. It's something that if you're going to a new school, especially, or if you're in high school or college, it's a great way to make friends, because tabletop gaming has never been bigger. So he wants to talk about some new, I believe, Dungeons & Dragons books or new tabletop gaming books that are out. So I'll bring it up to him when I sort of bring up our intermission. So without further ado, let's get started. For televisions, you know, what are you looking for? Well, it's pretty hard to find a TV that's just absolute crap anymore, because LCD and OLED technology has gotten to the point now where even the cheapest panels, you know, they're using panels from like 3 or 4 years ago, just repackaged. They're still really good. So you're looking for, what can I get price-wise? Well, at this point, if you're getting anything under like 40 inches, 43 inches actually, it's not worth getting a 4K TV at all. In fact, most people don't make 4K TVs of that size, because the distance you're going to be sitting at is not really worth it. So if you're going to be in a dorm room, or you're going to be just getting something for your bedroom that's going to be fairly close to you, and it's going to be your multi-purpose, you know, your computer, your television is going to be everything hooked up to it. You may as well go with something like a 32-inch from TCL. I'm going to recommend TCL for both. They sell on Amazon. They sell at Best Buy. They're pretty much the leaders now in cheap televisions that aren't crap. Don't go with like a ProScan or any of the garbage. Like RCA has not been the same in like 25 years. Don't go with that. You always see them dirt cheap at grocery stores. There's a reason they're dirt cheap. You go with a TCL. It's going to run you a couple hundred bucks, depending on when there's a sale or not. And that's, you're going to get something that's wildly, wildly great for the value. I personally ended up getting and upgrading my TV because I had a 4K TV that advertised HDR, but it didn't actually do HDR. There was actually a big hullabaloo about it. I had a Toshiba, and now Toshiba is out of the television business because they went bankrupt shortly after they were advertising their TVs did HDR that they didn't. So take that as you will. So I picked up a 50-inch 4K HDR. So if you're going to go with something a little larger, you have a little bit higher budget. This thing, Canadian, ended up costing me $413, including shipping. So this is for a 50-inch 4K with HDR, entry-level HDR. It doesn't do all the crazy bells and whistles, high-end OLED stuff, but it does look significantly better with HDR content than it does in standard. And even the standard range is phenomenal for the price. You know, it was $379 plus taxes. So if you convert that, you know, American, you're basically, it's a $300 TV. So for $300, you can get a 50-inch TV that looks fantastic. Now, you might want to mount it or be careful when you buy a TV like this, because now TVs come with those little tiny feet, the bottom left and right. And those feet are fairly wide, far apart, so you need a special, like, wide enough platform to put them on. Or spend $10-15 and buy a VESA mount kit that you can either mount on the wall, or you can get ones like I got where it basically replaces the feet and puts them more centered, and it's actually a little more stable because they're all metal feet. So it was worth the extra, I think I paid $10 or $12 plus tax, mounted it, and you can raise the TV or lower it to the height that you desire. It gives it enough room underneath to put a center speaker if you are using it for like a home theater at your home. As far as the speakers for it, speakers are always going to be crap. They're built into these TVs because they're such small, thin televisions now that there's not enough room for actually good speakers. So you can either use headphones with it, which sounds pretty good. In my case, I've got it hooked up to a receiver, so I've got surround sound hooked up, and it's not, not something very cheap, like if I, you know, $100 a speaker sort of thing. So, you know, that's out of the range of most people in like a dorm room. But you can get yourself like an Amazon Basics or somebody's soundbar, or better yet, you can use computer speakers. You know, you don't have to go with something that uses like an optical input and all this other stuff. You can get a set of like cheap PC computer speakers, like some of the ones I'm going to talk about later, like the, you know, Creative Pebble Plus, where it plugs into the headphone jack, and you could just do it that way, especially if you're in a dorm, and then it would take up very little space, and you'd get significantly like 10, 20 times the quality of audio and the fidelity from it. So that's something to consider. But yeah, if you're getting a TV, go with something like a TCL. They're back with a good warranty. They're dirt cheap, and they're good quality. If you're going to go with the TCL specifically, they all come with Roku built in now. So that basically takes care of most of your streaming capabilities. If you've already got a TV or you want to use a computer monitor or something instead, then you're going to need something to, you know, watch media on it. And there's basically three options now, short of actually hooking up a computer or a gaming system. I'm going to assume that you're not bringing your Xbox One X or your PS4 Pro or something like that with you to a dorm room, or, you know, you're not necessarily going to be able to afford that for your bedroom. So your options are basically, you know, like Roku sticks, Fire sticks, and little Android boxes, because we're thinking about space saving as well, especially if you're in a dorm or if you're in your first apartment. You want to just not be taking up too much real estate with clunky boxes if you can avoid it. So the Roku will run you, same with the Fire Stick, about $40-50, depending on if there's a sale, you can get it cheaper. And they'll do basically the exact same thing. They'll play pretty much any streaming media you put in them. They will not play anything off of a dedicated like USB stick or anything. You'll have to stream that from another device. Because they've discontinued, at least in Canada, their higher end models that have USB capabilities. So that might change, because I know that Roku is releasing a new product line in the fall. We haven't announced exactly what's going to be yet. I'll actually be attending an event to when they premiere the new product. So I'll be able to report on that later in September. But as it is right now, you've got your options are, you know, pure streaming media from the internet, which they both work great because the Roku built in my TV is fine. My mother got a Fire Stick, and if you're somebody who has Amazon Prime, it's fully integrated, so your Prime account's all hooked up. It's basically, you can watch anything you want on Prime very easily built into the menus, and then you can navigate and install things like Netflix and everything else, and it works just great. Both have voice capabilities, so you could just tell your smart device, you know, what to watch, and it'll do it for you, which is really cool. It's not something I necessarily use, but it can help with navigation. And then your third option for media players are a lot, the abundance, the vast, vast abundance of the Amazon boxes. Sorry, not Amazon boxes. Boxes that you can buy on Amazon that are Android boxes. They'll vastly range in specs. But here's what you want to look out for. Don't be swayed by things that say like, oh, 6K video support now. Or they'll say, you know, avoid anything that has a ROC chip as the CPU. Because on paper, the specs look great, but they generally have shitty, terrible compatibility, stability. They heat up. They don't work right. Avoid those. Avoid most other like MediaTek chips that are in them. And they almost all advertise. If they don't advertise what the CPU is in those little boxes, don't bother buying it because it's a piece of crap. The one to basically get is anything with like there's S912 series. Don't bother with that. Look for an ARM chip S905. It can have anything at the end, like S905X2 or anything, but what you're looking for is an S905. That is the most stable, best CPU-GPU combination on the market for Android boxes today. It's been that way for a couple of years. They just keep making improvements. They're not even expensive. They're sort of the mid-tier. Like, they're not the cheap ones. They're not the more expensive ones. They're sort of in between. They have the highest stability. They run the least hot, and they also have the most versatility, meaning you can actually install Linux or dedicated media software like Kodi, like a dedicated version, directly onto them, and they don't need to run Android. If you wanted to get rid of some of the bloat and just run, you know, a Kodi box, that would allow you to plug in anything you download or any videos that way or stream to it directly, just like you would on like on the PC or Xbox Media Center or anything. Yeah, you can use that. Or just the fact that the actual Android versions are a little more stable on it. So they'll range in price. They're about the same, $40-$50 for something decent, equivalent to the like the Roku sticks and all that. And they are more versatile, but again, they won't have nearly the same quality control. So it sort of ranges. You either get something from medium quality to low. There isn't something that's purpose-built like the Android or the actual, like, the Roku stick or the Fire Stick that is just, you know, like, works out of the box and works every time. You know, you sort of, you get what you pay for. So if you're comfortable with, you know, the Android ecosystem, that's something you should consider. Especially if you don't have, like, a lot of physical media, if you don't want to watch Blu-rays or DVDs, you might be able to get away with just with an Android box or an Android box and Roku something combination, because again, they're very small, take up very little space. They're generally either powered via USB, or they'll come with a little little tiny, you know, brick to plug in the wall, but they're usually small. So and the advantage there is sometimes they have built-in clocks and timers, and you can actually use it just like you would a phone, so you can set alarms and crap for yourself, which is pretty cool. So that's basically it for media players. The other option would be, you know, get yourself a cheap Blu-ray player. A lot of the Sony or any other ones that would be about $60-$70. If you do want to watch physical media, they usually are pretty small, and they do usually have built-in media functionality now for streaming and everything, which is pretty cool. But again, if you're, you know, well, you know, one of them new millennials, like I guess all of us are pretty much listening to this, you don't necessarily have a lot of physical media. You don't want to take it with you. So your probably best bet is to go with the Roku Fire Stick or an Android box. And what about portable audio? So with portable audio, it's a lot of people now are just used to using their phone for everything. But I'll be honest, in general, your phone usually has lower audio performance and lower quality. Like, I'm not an audio snob, but I do want my phone to be good for being a phone or multi-purpose device, and I want my audio to sound good and be dedicated to something else. Because another thing to consider is when you're using your phone, everything you do on your phone uses battery life, right? So having your music playing will generally reduce the battery life significantly. So you can go from having 8 hours of battery of use in the day to like, why in 4 hours is my battery basically dead? Well, a lot of that is the audio processing and then powering headphones and everything through that, or using Bluetooth. So your options now, if you want to have a dedicated device, which again can be multi-purpose, you can plug it into a dock or use it to stream music to an audio player on your computer or something else or whatever. Your options now are, you know, there's a lot of options, but not a lot that are good for the price unless you go to the higher end market. So you can go on Amazon and pick up a ton of those cheap MP3, MP4 players from Chinese knockoffs that, you know, they are all made to look like the Nano from 10, 12 years ago. And they're all going to sound basically the same. They're very basic, cheap entry, $20-$30. If you're just looking for something to play a whole bunch of MP3s and you don't care about how convoluted the menus are or how archaic it is, they're decent enough, but they're not going to be any better than what you have built into your phone. So I would recommend against it unless you just absolutely must have something that is a separate player that is, you know, under $30. Your other options are to go into like a higher end lossless player. There's Hi-Diz makes one, and they're about $100. There's Fios makes a whole range of players. And those are cool if you're really into having lossless dedicated audio that plays any file format on the market. And then you don't mind managing your audio yourself, you know, like dragging and dropping and all that sort of stuff. It's they're perfectly fine. They started about $100-$150, which is not bad for a dedicated music player for the quality you get from it. But to get some of all the bells and whistles, you're looking at $300 or $400 or more. So it's not going to be for everybody. So the other option is the iPod Touch 7th Gen, which I wasn't originally going to talk about until they announced that the system, they were coming out with a refresh model, and then I was sent one for review. And it's basically an iPhone 7. I think it's an iPhone 7 Plus on the inside as far as the chipset and everything, in the tiny form factor that we have known for the last, three or four generations, the same thickness. And it's pretty darn good. It's hard to beat, especially if you're going with the entry level one, the 32 gig. Now I was sent the 256, which is the high end. You're looking at $500 for that. That's out of most people's range unless you have a massive audio collection. But as far as if you want something, you know, for $200 to $250, the entry level one, 32 gigs, having that for dedicated music is good because it plays a wide variety of audio formats. You know, it has the built-in iTunes, you have the ability, because it's basically a smartphone, smart device. You can install so many different apps on there. You can use it for, podcasting. It's the best thing on the market. I've been using my Pixel 2 XL for podcasting with Google Podcasts and tried other third-party apps. Android does not have anything even remotely close to the quality, stability, and ease of use of the iTunes, podcast app. That is basically the big selling feature for anybody like myself that just loves listening to, podcasts and radio shows. The music playback is about on par as it is in like any Android or iPhone. So you're not going to get anything crazy special. The audio playback quality will be slightly below the stuff like Fios has at the higher end market, but it's sort of a sweet spot in the middle. The big selling feature here is the fact that it gets smart updates. It can update wirelessly. You can play games. You can do anything you can on a regular phone except make regular phone calls. I guess you could do Skype and everything on there. But, and it fits in your pocket. And then you got your 30 hours of battery life if you turn the brightness down and turn Wi-Fi off. So you could have, you could have this thing run for days. Really, if you just... if you just leave it plugged into a dock and it could just go for days, and it has, you know, Bluetooth and everything. So it's going to be probably my recommendation. If you can afford $200, it's going to last you all through high school or college. Now, that being said, there's other features for this that, you know, you'll be able to use this for gaming. It's a little bit small of a screen, but I have found that there's not a single game I was able to put on here that were high-end graphics that it struggled with. Because it's got that lower resolution screen than like a modern full-sized iPhone, it's not really taxing the GPU or CPU much, so it can actually display at 60 frames a second without having any lag issues. It's kind of amazing considering it's using 3 or 4 year old technology inside, even though it's new to this device. So they have that Apple Arcade subscription service coming out where they're going to have games coming out for it, similar to PlayStation Plus or anything else. And that's not launched yet. Apple has told me that I'll be able to check it out when it comes out, and I'll talk about it and, you know, review it on the show here when that does. But that might be a game changer. That might be the thing where it's like, why is it worth $200? Well, you can also play some games on it. So that's something we'll get into when it actually launches the service, or if I can get a beta key or something into it to try it out. But even as it is, playing regular, phone games on it is perfectly fine. And again, it offloads a lot of the battery usage from your main phone, so your main phone can last a heck of a lot longer. I'm not going to go into what phone you should buy, because that's just going to be dependent on what you like aesthetically, as well as what you can afford and what you can get. There's going to be a lot of back-to-school deals where they'll bundle a phone in for free if you sign up for 2 years. That's fine if you're in high school or college. 2 years is fine. So go with whatever you feel comfortable with and whatever you think is best. Don't go with a super high-end. It's incredibly dumb to go with a flagship phone that's like $1,200 when you're a student, because if you break it, then you're on the hook to pay off the entire phone. Go with something that, if in the off chance you lost it or broke it and you had to pay it off on your contract, go for something that you're not paying more than $300 or $400 for. If you can, do that. There's the Samsung A series is good for that. They're only like $200 or $300. Do what I did. I got a Pixel 2 XL, which technically has better specs and it's waterproof than the Pixel 3A, and it's only 2 years old. So it's snappy and still performs quite well. And within 2 years, when it's done, it'll still have support for another year or so with full, updates. So, and it's like a third of the price of the Pixel 3. So think about that. Like those are things to look at. It doesn't always necessarily have to be a brand new phone, as long as it's new to you and better than what you had. So, after that, you're thinking, okay, we've got a media player, we've got television, we've got everything. Well, what about computers? Well, with computers, there's basically two rules of thumb right now if you want to save money and get decent performance. If you're going to go with a laptop and you're not going to go with a crazy high-end gaming rig, if you're going to do that, you're going to look it up yourself. Go for something that has a Ryzen APU in it. So go with an AMD-based Ryzen either 2 or Ryzen 3 that just came out series. Go with one of those, because you'll find that they're fairly economical, under $500. They can do some light gaming if you want to do some esports titles. They have more than powerful enough components for media streaming, even at 4K. And in general, you're going to get better performance per dollar out of the new Ryzen CPU-GPUs combinations than you are out of an Intel. So basically, just look whatever's going on. Like, a lot of stores have it like $300 or $400. They'll have a 14 or 15 inch, and then you can hook it up to your TV that you bought earlier and use it in 4K. So go with something like that. Pretty much everything is going to be fine. Anything in the sub $500 price point will serve you just fine. And don't go with a $200 one that's like refurb from years ago. Go with something that says Ryzen on it when it's a laptop. If it says Ryzen, then you know that you're getting a decent, entry to mid-level laptop for under $500. When it comes to PCs, I would say, because your portability is a factor, if you really need to have a dedicated box and you don't want to take up a lot of room, you can do what I did, where I put together my podcasting computer, which is Well, it's a Ryzen-based, but it's an Athlon dual-core with GPU built in, desktop CPU, and I put it into a ASRock Desk Mini. Now, that's a little mini cube. Think the size of... You remember the size of a GameCube? Think, what if you cut a GameCube in half, like from half height? That's basically what this little computer box is. It's quite tiny, and it has the motherboard, everything you need in there. You just pop in some RAM, a hard drive, and stuff, and you can build this for under $500, and it only uses 100 watts of power. So you're going to get something that's more powerful than the laptop that you can get, but you'll need to buy a few extra components, and you'll need to buy a Windows license and all that. So, or go with, you know, a mini PC that they're advertised. Just remember that you can't upgrade a mini PC. You can upgrade this guy because it's a bare bones, but if you must have, you know, a dedicated computer and it's not going to be a gaming computer and you don't have a lot of space, look up some of the bare bones kits you can get, that like the Desk Mini, that are, you know, reasonably priced at about $200 or $300 before you add your components. Keep your cost below $500, otherwise it's not worth it. And then also check out things like Dell and other companies. They're going to be doing their back to school sales, or they're going to be, you know, ones that just finished. They're going to have things on clearance, especially since Best Buy and places like that will get special models in just for back to school. And since, you know, they're basically, you know, trying to clear out stock for the Christmas season, you'll probably get a pretty good deal. So, you know, you'll want to at least consider checking them out. And if they're an open box one, you can get 10% off. Get them to, you know, knock it down more by offering you an extended warranty or something on it. And if you can get, come out of this with under $500, you got a pretty good deal. If you need gaming or you need CAD software or something, then your school or whatever will give you the specs of what you need. And if that's the case, go with that. So that's going to do it for the first half of this guide. Just sort of, again, rapid fire. I will put, you know, notes in the actual episode notes and on the website. Just, you know, some links to some ideas for what to pick up and what to look at. Because, you know, you can do this whole back to school thing. If you wanted to get everything that I'm going to be talking about on the list here, you know, just to get, you know, start from scratch, you can do everything I'm saying here for under $1,000. And, you know, that's a pretty good deal if you're going to college or, you know, high school, you get your first job. Or, you know, if you're just like, you know, the rest of us out there that just want to get a good deal on certain things, you know, this is a good time to buy right now. And, you know, people say Black Friday. A lot of times it's even better the first week of January. So if you're not buying stuff now, you'll want to buy this sort of stuff come January or so. So I'm going to send it over to Birdman. He recorded the segment for me to put in here. And he's going to talk a bit about, I think it's some Dungeons & Dragons. If I'm wrong, too bad. He's going to be talking about some tabletop games. Because, you know, that's one thing. If you're starting at a new school or you just want to make new friends, this is the age of social gaming. And there's nothing more social than making up stories together and having fun. So take it away, Birdman.
Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. You'll proudly mow the lawn, ask if anybody noticed you mowed the lawn, tell people to stay off the lawn, compare it to your neighbor's lawn, and complain about having to mow the lawn again. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance, which, of course, will go right into the lawn. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
Old moon, yeah. That's Hugo, tickling the ivories. He just saved by bundling home and auto with Progressive. Gonna finally buy a ring for that gal of yours, Hugo? Send her my condolences. Hi-oh! This next one's for you, too. There's a burglar in my heart. Thank you.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
This is a fair request, and I promise I will not judge any person only as a teenager. And that this is no more right than saying all teenagers are drunken dope addicts or glue sniffers.
Hey guys, Mike the Birdman Dodd here, and of course, it is the beginning of yet another school year. Be you taking off to high school, you could be going off to college for the first time, or university, and well, Alex has talked about some of the tech that you may be bringing with you, but I want to talk about something a little bit different for just a couple of minutes here, and I want to talk about one of the favorite hobbies of mine, and that is role-playing games, and more specifically, Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition from Wizards of the Coast. And of course, you can't go anywhere without talking about Critical Role, Acquisitions Inc., and any other number of the Long Play podcasts you can find on YouTube or iTunes, wherever. But what if you wanted to bring this experience with you as you go off to college for the first time? More people are interested in the hobby, especially with high-profile celebrities like Stephen Colbert, Joe Manganiello, and countless others talking about their love and passion for the hobby. Hell, even having celebrity D&D games out there. Why not bring your own with you as you take off to these new adventures, sort of looking for your own adventuring party, if you will? And finding a group, I think, now has never been easier because more people are aware of the hobby. I mean, sure, it's always been around since the late 70s up to current day, but it's never been more socially acceptable than it has been now. Like I said, especially with Critical Role and Matt Mercer and whatnot. So I'm here to give you my picks for what you may want to bring with you as you go off to college or university or high school to maybe get together your own adventuring party. And it's been a couple of years since the D&D's 5th edition has come out, and there was the starter set. So they've decided to do a refresh of that and put together the D&D Essentials Kit, which is essentially a refreshed starter box, but it does give you a brand new adventure, the Dragon of Ice Spire Peak. You get a GM screen in there, or the Dungeon Master screen, so the Dungeon Master can hide their roles and whatnot. You get a bunch of dice, so you don't necessarily have to go out and buy your own. They're included in the box. There's a code if you want to buy the digital version of the Player's Guide on D&D Beyond, and you also get cards for magic items, quests, which I'll explain in a bit, and sidekicks. If maybe you don't get a 3 or 4 people to play with you, you can play with just 2 people, a dungeon master and another player. So the Essentials Kit kind of is meant for levels 1 to 6, and it's not as advanced as the rules you'd find in the Player's Manual. They don't really do XP, you basically fulfill quests, and you advance through that, which I kind of strip out XP myself in my homebrew games. I just say, you've accomplished the quest, you've done this, here, take a level. Something like that. I just find, if you're not so much in the crunching math and doing challenge ratings, you can do it via this way, but I'm throwing terms at you, you really don't need to worry about. But this includes everything you need to run an adventure. It also strips out some of the races and character classes, but you can play bards, fighters, clerics, stuff like that, and takes out things like the monk, and I want to say the rogue. Basically, it gives you the token fantasy experience without maybe bogging you down in all the minutia that the Player's Handbook throws at you, which is a huge rule read, though pretty easy to understand. So the Essentials Kit makes it simple for new DMs and new Dungeon Masters and players to kind of get into. And I do like it, actually. I like the fact that it wants to welcome new people into the hobby. And like I said, if you're going off to school, finding a new adventuring group shouldn't be that hard, especially with the Adventurers League, which is run out of any number of different comic book shops or hobby stores. Or you can just talk to your student council. You may be able to connect with billboards around the school and just put up, as the old saying is, LFG. Looking for group, and I think you should be able to find something there. Though, one caveat I would mention with the Essentials Kit, if you happen to be the Dungeon Master for this, or if you plan on being a Dungeon Master, maybe take a look at some of the other supplements out there, like a Real Player's Handbook, and maybe the Real Dungeon Master's Guide, if you want to kind of have a leg up on your players to give them a much more enriching experience, to kind of give yourself a more enriching experience as well. But that's not to say the Essentials Kit is bad. It's just, I think a little more reading would certainly go a long way into helping you building something for a group, though. But considering the price you're getting this at, I think you can get this right now. I was looking on Amazon, and as of right now, the pre-order price is like $15, and this thing comes out in just a couple of days. So jump on it while you can. And the other thing that I wanted to talk about briefly during this, and let's say you're going back to school, you have your own adventuring group, and you kind of want to introduce something a little bit different. Maybe build your campaign in a different sort of sense, if you will. And that's with the source book Acquisitions Inc., which is based upon the Penny Arcade's long-running podcast. You can either subscribe on YouTube, or you can go to any of the PAX events and typically see them play out an adventure. And it introduces, like, jobs and corporate structure to D&D, which sounds stupid, but it's really not. Basically adding more roles and skills. There's a new race. They also talk about vehicles. There's like a mechanical beholder, which is really weird, and like a war balloon. But it takes ideas like one of my favorite things, and I think this is just a really neat idea. It's the Documancer. So imagine a warlock, but more focused instead of dealing with evil demons and deities. What if they're focused on paperwork? And maybe doing like day-to-day contracts, stuff like that. Or the Secretariat, which is a more social character. Basically, as you build out your Acquisitions Inc. franchise, them getting gossip and social information, being able to help out your party. And obviously, Acquisitions Inc. is more aimed at the more advanced D&D Dungeon Master and party to introduce this structure. You don't necessarily have to be a fan of the show to get a lot out of it, because it's been years since I've seen an Acquisitions Inc. pretty much anything, but I do enjoy the Penny Arcade flavor that this book brings to the table. Plus, I like the idea of the new goblin race. Like, you start out as a small creature, and then as you advance in level, you mutate into larger sizes. I think they get like limited telepathy or something like that. And it's kind of cool. If you want to do something a little bit different with your particular Dungeons & Dragons games, you can most certainly do that. And like I said, if you want to take advantage of something people might recognize, if your group is looking to kind of switch things up for the year, and maybe your group only gets together during the school year, I don't think running an Acquisitions Inc. type game is necessarily a bad thing. So those are my recommendations you can take to school this year, whether you're looking for a new adventuring group with the D&D Essentials Kit, or whether you're a more seasoned group adding something a little bit different, adding a little bit something more like your course load, realistically, at work and play. You can definitely take a look at the D&D Essentials Kit for 5th edition and the D&D Acquisitions Inc. book, both available from Wizards of the Coast. I highly recommend you check out these items as you prepare to work, play, and adventure in your new life at school. I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd. Now to throw things back to Alex.
Did you grow up with the NES, PlayStation, Star Wars, cartoons, and 80s TV? Do you like to think you would win in a fight between Batman and the Master Chief? Comics, games, movies, music, and TV. They're gonna tell you everything you need. Superheroes or not, they got your back. They're gonna save the world. And TV, they're gonna tell you everything you need. Superheroes or not, they got your back. They're gonna save the world of this wicked king. This wicked king.
Thanks for that, Birdman. And we're back with the second part of my guide here. So, what am I going to talk about now? We've talked about televisions, media players, portable media players, and computers. Well, to go along with these, you're going to need things like I'd spoken earlier about, which are speakers. You're going to need something to amplify and get the decent sound quality you want out of things. A lot of people suggest, you know, Bluetooth speakers, but they're generally mono unless you can find a decent stereo one. There are available, but they don't have a lot of good stereo separation. So avoid them if you can. A sound bar will do you fine in a pinch, especially one that has a subwoofer. But, you know, for my money, you're better off going with some cheap computer speakers, even from Amazon Basics. They make decent 2.0 speakers for like $25. That $25, that will get you decent stereo separation and remove that tinny sound you get from laptops and from televisions now. They're not going to provide you with high fidelity audio, but that's not the point of this. You're not looking for a multi-$100 set. Now, if you're looking for something that's bang for your buck, that Creative Pebble Plus set that I received earlier to talk about this summer, that's probably the sweet spot, something like that, in that it'll run you about $50, depending on where you buy it, but you got your stereo channels, and you can choose to plug the subwoofer in or not, depending on, let's say, you're in a dorm or something where noise is going to be a factor. You can have the sub unplugged and still receive audio that's crisp and clear and helps with the helps understanding the dialogue in TV shows and movies, which are usually muddied out or sound really tinny on normal televisions. So you can plug that directly into the headphone jack of your television, or you can plug it into your computer or your phone or your tablet or your, you know, your iPod or anything, and you can get some decent quality out of there. And having that subwoofer in enhances it more, and it's USB powered, so you can plug it into a wall with the USB port. Or you can plug it in, you know, to television's USB port or your computer, whatever you want. And there's even a high gain on the bottom if you need a little extra oomph. So those, and honestly, they're kind of stylish. So I do like the design. That's going to do you. Don't need to pay more than $50 for speakers, especially for, you know, something personal on your television and everything. And, you know, they don't come with a remote to turn things up and down. But a lot of televisions, when you press, if you mute the internal speakers and use the headphone jack, using the remote on your controller will actually turn up and down the volume output to the headphone jack even. So if that's the case, then you can leave your, you know, your speakers on, like, let's say a 50% level, so they're not going to be, you know, humming the whole time. And you can turn up and down based on the remote control. So that's a little tip there for you. As far as headphones, well, if you're going to go wired and you want to have like a gaming headset that can also be used for decent quality audio and doesn't break the bank at, you know, over $100, you're going to want to look at those PDP level 50 wired headsets that we talked about earlier in the summer. It doesn't matter if you want the Xbox ones or the PS4 ones, except there's a chat dial, you know, for the Xbox One. And other than that, you know, they'll work in any device when they're the wired ones. They have really good sound reproduction quality. The boom mic is pretty darn good, and you can use them for calls or anything you need. So that's what I would suggest for, you know, having a higher fidelity quality, like listening experience when you're listening to a TV and you want it to be quiet and you just have your headphones plugged in. You can, and as far as if you're looking for earbuds that are wired, there's a lot of cheap options out there on the internet. Aukey makes some decent ones for about $10 or $15, maybe $20 or so on Amazon. They're decent quality, but honestly, bang for your buck, the Miniso branded, if you go to the Miniso, I don't know how many there are in the states of Minisos yet, but they're all over Canada. Miniso is like a Japanese hybrid dollar discount store, where they range in price up to like $30 for some things, but for the most part, they're like a, I don't know if you have a Byway in the states, but it's like, you know, more expensive than a dollar store, but cheaper than a regular store, if that makes any sense. They make their own branded headphones for $10 to $12 that are metal in design. I've bought two or three pairs of them. I always keep an extra pair on me just in case I drop one or break it. They are fantastic quality. They perform for $10 or $12 as well as Sony earbuds that are like $50. So, or like Skull Candy or even anything else. So if you can go to a Miniso, pick up a couple of pairs, you can pick up four pairs for the price you'd pay for a decent set from somebody else. That's going to be great for a wired one. And they have the inline remote where you can pause it and turn your volume up and down on your headphones that way. If you're going to go wireless, there's tons of options out there. You see ones like Raycons and all that advertised. Bang for your buck, and CES and everybody else has agreed upon it. It's the Creative Outlier Airs, the ones that I were reviewing. They're Bluetooth. You get about 6 to 8 hours at regular listening volume on a single charge. You can charge them 3 to 4 times in the accompanying headphone earbud charging case. And you really aren't going to get anything better for your money for under $100. You just really aren't. The Raycons are probably the closest thing to them, and that's just got a name behind it, advertising. I've been super happy with the Creative Outlier Airs. So those are going to be my recommendation for wireless. If you're looking for a full headset wireless, like a big one, again, you can go with the PDP ones. There's going to be lots of out there. It's just going to be depending on what you like. But if you're looking for true wireless earbuds, it's probably the Creative Outlier Airs. And that leads us into gaming, sort of to finish off the guide here. Gaming, it's all going to depend really on what you want to do and what your price point is. Sure, you can have an Xbox or you can have a PS4. You can find them on the cheap. Do you have the real estate for them? Do you have the room for them? Are you going to be spending a lot of money on digital or not digital? It's probably best, if you don't have one already, just to go with go with a Switch, because it's portable. You can play it with friends. You can have lots of people join in with you, especially now that the Switch Lite is coming out. It's going to be perfect to just play on the go in the dorm or at home. And there's tons of great titles out there. I was thoroughly thrilled with the Fire Emblem game that came out. We have Astral Chain coming out this week. You've got Daemon X Machina. There's a whole bunch of other titles coming out. And then all the party games, right? You know, there's, if you want to make friends, it's something you could do just by, you know, bringing your Switch out. But people that want to play with you, people want to play Nintendo games with other people. It's just always been that way, right? So, that's great if you're... And then as far as if you're playing on PC, you know, then you've got subscription models you can get for, like, Humble Bundle. There's plenty of ways. I don't need to go too much into detail of that. But if you're going to be playing on the PC or even on the Switch, there, and you want an extra controller, you don't necessarily want to pay $90 or more for the Nintendo Pro Controller. And the way around that is to go with those PDP controllers we talked about earlier in the year. Go with, you know, the PDP Face-Off Deluxe Plus, which is the only wired Pro Controller for the Switch on the market right now that has a headphone jack so you can listen to it wirelessly. So you can plug in your earbuds or your other headphones directly into it. And the audio quality is pretty darn good, and the controller handles quite well. Now, if you're playing, you know, if you do have an Xbox or you're playing more PC, go with one of the Rock Candy Xbox One controllers from them. It has the headphone jack, full Windows 10 support. You can, you know, play it with your emulators, do whatever you want to do. And they look nice. They're kind of fun. So, and they're not going to break your bank. Like, they're less than half the price of a Pro Controller from Nintendo. So, and, you know, if you're in a dorm or you're in your bedroom, they come with a 10-foot cable. They got, you know, there's no batteries you got to worry about. And there's not really anywhere in that room or your bedroom or your room is going to be that you can't reach with that controller, that you could just buy a $5 extension cable if you really needed to, right? Like, and then there's, of course, the mini consoles. You know, we've got the Genesis Mini coming out, which I'm can't wait for. I've already got mine pre-ordered. You've got the, you know, SNES that was out previously. There's plenty of other consoles. I mean, you can even get the Commodore 64 like I have. But there's going to be tons of options for micro consoles to play. And, you know, if you get the Genesis one that comes out, it's going to come with two controllers. And that will be fun. That'll invite friends over and try that out. So there's lots of options there. And then you've got, if you want, you know, on the cheap, there's going to be that subscription arcade service for the iPod. You can play it on your iPhone as well, but like, it's going to be there for that. And then you got Stadia coming out. You know, and I've, you know, there's a lot of people online that are not besmirching it, but they're saying, "Oh, it's doomed to fail. It's not this." It's take it from somebody. Like, I have a family member that works at Google, and I have seen, you know, some things working on it. I've seen some stuff. Like, I visited him, and he was, on playing. And I can see that, you know, we are on the other side of the country, you know, cross country from where the servers are. And we're getting, you get full speed. Like, I know it works. Like, I'll just say that. It works as advertised. And everybody that's been complaining about it has not actually used it or seen it in widespread use. It works. It's going to be a player on the market. It's going to be something to watch out for, because for $150, you get a controller, you get 3 months of service, and you can stream. You could use that $200 computer or laptop and play high-end gaming. That's something to consider. NVIDIA also has their GeForce Now service, which is going to do the same thing, which will let you use a lower-end computer to play some games online. You've got other cloud-based services start slowly rolling out, but the ones to watch will be, like, there's probably going to be a decent amount of people that have a Nintendo Switch or Switch Lite for the Nintendo games, and then for most other AAA titles, they might just go with Stadia or another streaming service like that, because they don't have to worry about about having big hardware. And if you have a dedicated connection, people think, oh, what about the parts of the countries that don't have 35 meg service? Like, to be honest, there's very few places that don't have that kind of service now, or at least enough to get on playing 720p. And if that's the case, those people weren't playing online anyway. Like, let's be honest here. There's got to be something that pushes the market. Netflix pushed the market into having basic high speed, having a minimum of 10 megs of service. And data caps, I was like, oh, worry about the data caps. It's like, this is Google's intention is to force the industry to change things. Well, this will change it. This and the Xbox service, all these cloud services are going to force the industry to no longer have data caps. In fact, most places in Canada don't have data caps, and we have a more sparse population spread out farther in more rural areas than even in the States, and we don't have data caps for most of our services. So, and they say, oh, you must have a certain speed. I think it was like 35 or 45 megabit a second to get 4K. I can confirm it only used like 17 megs here. So there's going to be options like that. You're going to have cloud gaming to take up even less space. So then you can have a Chromecast. Basically, you could get away with having your TV and having two little dongles plugged in, and you'd have all your streaming and all of your gaming hooked up there, not including what you have portable with the Switch. So you could get all this in and pack it all into one car, and you can do all this for under $1,000, which is pretty darn good. So it's going to be an interesting next few months to see how the gaming landscape goes. But this is basically it. And if you're somebody who wants television, and if you're not somebody who's comfortable, like, I don't want to torrent, I don't want to do this, I don't want to download, I don't want to watch on individual websites. Well, there's services out there now. Like, if you have Amazon Prime, you can get with Prime Video, there's an option. I think they call it Stax, and for like $10 a month, on top of you have a subscription for $10 a month, you can get live TV of a whole bunch of channels. And what that does is it's basically like getting a small cable package, but instead of spending $30 a month, you can get it for like $7.99, or you can get individual channels you want. There's streaming options like Disney Plus coming out. You have in Canada we got Crave and HBO as part of that package together. You've got Hulu and CBS All Access and DC Universe. So there's options. You can pick the flavors that you want and still get by with having live TV that way. So it's interesting. We can get more and more digital as we go on now. And in doing that, it's freed up a lot of people that maybe couldn't have afforded big cable packages or really expensive home media. There's always going to be collectors out there that want physical, which is cool. But I think you're going to be able to get away with a few small devices over the next couple of years, on the cheap, and be perfectly satisfied with the quality you get of the media that you consume. So that's going to pretty much do it for the back to school / fall guide. Whether it be gifts for yourself, gifts for somebody else, or if you're a student, or if you're just getting your first apartment even, there's going to be options out there for you. You don't have to go with something expensive. Don't go with a name brand if you don't have to. Do a little bit of research, maybe use our guide here as a jumping off point. You may not necessarily want the TCL TVs or the media players I talked about, but they're at least a point where you can go from and go, hey, this would be cool. Maybe you want to build a whole bunch of Raspberry Pi devices. There's options out there for you. So that's going to do it. I'm going to put everything into the show notes, and this will be out. I'm recording this on Thursday. I'm going to release it on Friday, so that it's ready for the long weekend here. As far as stuff coming up on the show, I know Birdman and I are going to be recording some podcasts, I believe, over the weekend. We've got, as far as what I have on the go, I have the Sonic the Hedgehog, the Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog, the cartoon show, the non-Sat AM one, so it's the really cartoony one. I've got that as a review in the works. I've also got a review coming out of the Heart to Heart TV movies from Mill Creek, as well as Pan Am, which was a TV series that ran about 5 or 6 years ago. That's also out from Mill Creek. There are some other things in the works. I believe I've got to check for confirmation. I believe I'm getting Daemon X Machina to review for the Nintendo Switch from Nintendo. That's really exciting because I didn't get Astral Chain because there is very limited press copies going out for that, and that's already coming out, I believe, as of this recording's release. So I'll be playing that on my own, but as for review, Daemon X Machina, which looks really cool, so I'll find out soon whether or not I get that or not. And this coming week, I'm going over to... I'll probably be seeing Birdman live on Wednesday. I've got some doctor's appointments to go to, and we're going to try to catch up. I'm still trying to work on getting After Dark ready to go with a new intro and outro and such. And as soon as it is, I'll probably put a teaser preview up of that. That's going to be fun. And there's, you know, as always, there's tons of stuff coming in the mail. I'm going to be seeing two movies tomorrow in theaters because my local theater is doing $6.99 for movies all weekend. So I guess $4.99 American, down from like regular $12 or $15 for IMAX. So I'm seeing Peanut Butter Falcon, a Shia LaBeouf movie where he takes a man with Down syndrome who wants to be a pro wrestler, and they decide to go take him to wrestling school. And he calls himself the Peanut Butter Falcon. It looks ridiculous, but it has like 98% on Rotten Tomatoes and like 95% of audience score. So it's like, I'm like, Shia LaBeouf movie that's supposed to be really good called Peanut Butter Falcon? Okay. And then I'm also seeing, was it Saha? I can't even pronounce the title. Is a 3-hour Indian action movie that looks ridiculous. It has like $100 million budget, and it looks like Fast the Furious, but from like Fast the Furious Indian. And I'm like, I'm probably the only person that's going to see it because I think I'm the only person that ordered a ticket, but I'm going to see that tomorrow first as well. And I hope it's subtitled, because if it's not, I'm going to be making up a story in my head. But I was like, you know, $6.99, crazy Indian movie, looks ridiculous. And then there's another one coming out in October, I think, called War, and I think it's a remake. It looks like a remake of the Jason Statham Jet Li movie, and if it's not, it still looks like Triple X or one of those types of movies, like the Vin Diesel movies. So maybe I'll start going to see these insane Indian action movies. It's going to have lots of dancing and singing probably in it, but it looks really high budget. So that's going to be my weekend. Then on Saturday, it's the All Elite Wrestling All Out pay-per-view with Chris Jericho headlining. Got my brother, his wife, and maybe some other people coming over to watch that. And then I'm not sure exactly what I'm going to do Sunday or Monday, the holiday, but we'll see. So, you know, that's going to do it for our back-to-school / fall media guide, I guess. I'm not sure. I'm probably just going to call it the Back to School Gift Guide, if that makes any sense. Okay, so that's going to be it for us. We'll be back with more classic interviews over the weekend, more Regular Twig. There should be a new episode of Nerds of the Third coming out. We're trying to get together, I believe, on Monday to record Mayhem Mics. There's a few different topics we want to do. We're still trying to get together to do the Top 100 Wrestlers. We're getting that in the works. There's a lot in the works coming out, and you'll see a fair amount of content coming out on This Week in Geek. And, of course, we'll tweet it out, pimp it out on Facebook. So with that, that's going to close off the show. I'll talk to everybody later.
Okay, son, now you're starting to scare the viewers.
Just act normal.
I'd ask you to do the same, but I'm afraid that ship has sailed.
Why are there so many ostriches?
But you have a game that is dipped in the f***.
Ha ha!
Ropey, thick, window cocking.
So, guys, we'll be right back right here on This Week in Geek, only on thisweekingeek.net and many other sites where I syndicate this crap, because I'm a media slut.
I like turtles.
Loose like your mom.
That's right.
No fisting, you say. Anything else you object to?
Me lucky tater tots.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Check out our website at thisweekingeek.net for more geek content and subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202. Follow and message us on Twitter at This Week in Geek. And check out our Instagram at twig_official_podcast. And if you're the good old-fashioned email type, send us an email at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. We'll see you next time. And remember,
lower your shields and surrender your listenership.
Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. You'll proudly mow the lawn, ask if anybody noticed you mowed the lawn, tell people to stay off the lawn, compare it to your neighbor's lawn, and complain about having to mow the lawn again. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance, which, of course, will go right into the lawn. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
And now, an ad from Dad.
All right, save money on car insurance when you bundle home and auto with Progressive.
Can I take these off?
All right.
What is this? This looks good.
Wow. That's well made. Where did you get this? I'm talking to you, with the hair. Yeah, where did you get this? It's good stuff. That's solid. That's not veneer. That's solid stuff.
Progressive can't save you from becoming your parents, but we can save you money when you bundle home and auto. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discounts not available in all states or situations.